Howdy and what's up? This is the Long 2, a fantasy basketball podcast. My name is Natty. His name is Brandon. Brandon, what's up?
How's it going, Natty? It's been a couple weeks since we last spoke, but does not mean that we have not both been knee deep in the basketball. So I'm excited to talk about, you know, catch up.
I haven't watched any basketball. I went hard into Formula One racing, and that's all I've been watching the past 2 weeks. Just kidding. I am one of the unfortunate people who roster Kevin Durant proudly and gratefully, and he is now out for a month. There's a lot of shit that's been going on in the NBA. Brandon, I know you had some thoughts, so take it away. How are you feeling? What's going on? What do you see?
Well, to comment on your breaking news on Kevin Durant, I believe that came out today, right? I don't know. It's breaking news to a lot of people.
Oh, for sure. But it sucks, you know, right before MLK Day games. But
yeah, but there's plenty of star power there. But my question there is, it could get a little testy between James Harden and Kyrie. You know, they've both kind of been, they clearly haven't been on the same page, those two. And Kevin Durant was kind of the guy who was kind of keeping the peace, it seemed like. So we'll see what happens when Kyrie plays and then doesn't play. And then Harden has to carry the team and they take an L.
Dude, and like, their team might suck. Like, DeAndre Bembry is starting. Kessler Edwards, don't know him. Nick Claxton is good, but out. LMA is out. James Johnson is out as usual. Bruce Brown, who we both love. Cam Thomas. Patty Mills. Oh, my God. Everyone pick up Patty Mills, please. Like, the people that dropped Patty Mills because Kyrie came back half, pick Patty back up because now KD's out. And they need Patty. He's been the only reason they've won games, really. Yeah. Like, the only reason they have this record is because of Patty Mills. Anyway, Blake Griffin can't, like, finish anymore. Like, the team sucks.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mentioned DeAndre Bembry, and it's like, they, as many minutes as you give him, he'll still score 6 points sometimes. So,
yeah,
it's like Patty Mills, Cam Thomas to a lesser degree. He's not going to be consistent, but he can score. It's ugly. And, you know, I think when you have Kyrie and Harden out there, you know, they're going to, you know, have a chance. But when it's just out of shape James Harden, it could get a little dicey.
It is going to be strange basketball for sure. Because like you said, KD is the glue. I mean, he's the straw that stirs the drink wherever he goes. He's just that good. They're just down so many dudes. Like, I think that we're going to see some games where they have all three guards out there, you know, just because they have to, and
of course,
to see what they can actually do with it. They're going to have to win off of star power alone, because there's nothing else. Like, imagine if they still had Jared Allen, if they hadn't just like thrown him into that deal. And he could help them. I mean, I like Nick Claxton. I like him a lot, actually. But
I mean, he'd more than help them. Jared Allen right now looks like, you know, he's one of the top three or four, maybe not three, but maybe top four center in the NBA right now.
I love him so much that I have to half-heart the Cavs. I mean, there are other dudes on that team that I like too, which really fucking bugs me. I don't like that I like Mosley so much. But it's, it sucks, man. Like, the Nets just don't really look like a contender to me at all. And even if KD was there and is healthy, and he'll be out for at least a month, it's like 4 to 6 weeks, depending on the state of affairs with the Nets and their record. Maybe they'll keep him out longer, you know, if the team can weather his absence.
But doesn't this happen every year? It seemed like with KD that he misses time like in the second half of the season.
Dude, he's been playing like 38 minutes. Like, he's been playing a ton for a guy with serious injuries in the recent past. And he's been able to do it. And he's looked like an MVP candidate. I mean, that's gone now. There's no fucking way he'll be MVP.
He wasn't going to win MVP anyways.
Yeah, but like second or third in the voting, but now not even. I don't know. Like, there's teams in the East that seem to be coming on. You know, like the Sixers seem to be coming on. The fucking Raptors are somehow like above 500. The Knicks just made a move. I don't know if you can call it an upgrade. Well, it has to be an upgrade because Kevin Knox didn't play at all, and Cam Reddish will.
Yeah, in case people aren't aware, Cam Reddish was traded to the Knicks. He is injured right now, so we're not sure when he's going to make his Knicks debut. But he has been reunited with his former Duke teammate, RJ Barrett. And some of the buzz right now is that, you know, maybe this is, you know, them gearing up to try to land Zion. But let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about that. I wanted to say one thing that I've noticed, especially in the last, you know, 5+ years of the NBA, is video games have predicted so much of what we see now in the modern NBA. And, you know, I'm specifically referring to LeBron James playing the five. Like, who didn't – anyone who's played NBA 2K, who hasn't seen that coming? You know, so I love seeing LeBron at the five. It's made so much sense. He should have been doing it for, like, the last 3 years.
Dude, it sucks, though. He's getting the shit kicked out of him. It is extreme – like, that's something that – is awesome in the playoffs. I don't want to see him, if I'm a Lakers fan, doing that in the regular season. They're doing it out of necessity. Like, it sucks over there.
He's kind of a 1-5, right? He's like Joker. But he can also, like, defensively, sometimes he can switch, you know, and he can obviously switch down to, like, guard some smaller guys. But I don't know. I like it and agree with you. Yeah, you're right, 100%. That's for the playoffs. You don't want to see him doing that for, you know, 40 games over the course of the NBA season. But I am just saying that it just makes so much sense in a death lineup to have LeBron James as your center while Anthony Davis is out. Even with Anthony Davis back, I still think that can make a lot of sense.
The thing that sucks is that no one is really taking advantage. I mean, Malik Monk is doing really well. He's under-rostered. People should go pick him up. He looks like...
Is he the second best guy on the Lakers right now?
Because AD's out?
And they're when they play tonight, is he the second best player?
He's playing the best off of LeBron. Can I say it like that? Like, he makes sense next to LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Westbrook is a more talented player. I mean, that's just true.
But playing the best basketball right now, is he the guy who is
Russ
playing
shouldn't
the
be on the team, man. Like, there's the reason that I was for Russ being on the Lakers, and the reason that I wanted to give the benefit of the doubt to the team, was because Russ was going to be able to win regular season games when LeBron or AD was out. Well, that hasn't really materialized. First, Russ starts off slow, and second, like, it's just not working at all. His defense sucks too. And
he's hit the side of the backboard on mid-range jumpers like 4 times this season.
And he's also not, like, been as bad at threes as people think, but it's still bad. And if LeBron is the one that has to change to compensate for you, then the construction of the roster is incorrect. And the last time this happened, when the roster around LeBron was so bad back in Cleveland, they fucking turned the whole goddamn thing over. But I don't know if you can do that. So, like, while it makes sense, like, LeBron is the best problem solver of this and maybe any generation. So, yeah, he started playing center because they had to. And he's playing center, and Russ still can't, like, be an effective offensive player. It's ridiculous.
I know.
Right,
one more thought for you.
Yeah.
So this is not really about one's fantasy production, but watching the Bulls, DeMar DeRozan, and I'm not saying he's as good as this guy, obviously, but his game, the way he plays, It just reminds me of like 1997, 1998 MJ. Seeing him in that Bulls uniform, like hitting that mid-range game. He's just like so automatic from the mid-range right now. He's like using the fadeaway. He plays like an old school style. And just seeing him in that Bulls jersey, the way he's been performing, it's been like reminiscent. I don't know about you.
The dentist, Zach LaVine, is going to be out for a while, I believe.
Yes, he is.
Knee.
So Alonzo, Alonzo could miss a few games.
Dude, this is DeChosen's chance to get MVP.
Yep, exactly. Like, this is his time.
In the one or the two seed, and just looks like the culmination of a narrative arc that people understand, like, and there's sentimentality involved and all the rest of it. And also they'd be, some voters would be like rubbing it in to the teams that didn't believe in DeMar. And yeah. I just feel, like all of the Raptors fans who were really upset of when the Kawhi trade happened, just because they love DeMar so much, I feel like they're vindicated. Because I feel like the rest of the nation was like, what are you talking about? You just got Kawhi. And a bunch of Raptors fans were like, you don't understand.
What if Toronto actually lost that trade? What if DeRozan goes on?
They got a chip out of it. Come on. No,
I'm kidding. But yeah. DeMar DeRozan, who's to say that DeMar DeRozan will not be more productive from this point on compared to Kawhi Leonard?
If the Bulls end with the number one seed, you have to consider him at least, because he's the biggest change.
Yep.
So. Being in San Antonio like helped him be a real distributor, like a legit kind of dude that can run an offense, and a dude that doesn't need to hit threes to be effective and efficient and to keep the ball moving. It's amazing. He's so cool.
Yes, I know, man. He is. He's been.
And he really thought the Lakers had signed him. He was like, "Yeah, I, you know, pretty much thought it would be a done deal." And nope. Shit.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
No, that's it. Let's get into these teams.
Okay, I just had one thought. It's my Pistons thought for the pod. Mm. Because
Pistons
always play on Sundays. So they got their asses handed to them by Phoenix earlier today. It's fine. That's all part of the plan. Cade got ejected in the third quarter after he did a reverse dunk over, I don't even remember, number 10 on Phoenix. I forget who that is.
Oh, Smith, I believe.
Oh, yeah,
Big man, yeah.
And then Cade pointed, and when I was watching, I thought he was like pointing to the crowd. Maybe he was pointing at the dude he just dunked over, but they tossed him. He got a tech. That was cool. That was, as a Pistons fan, I don't care about how this game ends. Like my man, my new boyfriend is tough and fucking gets ejected sometimes. Let's go Suns. Bad boys.
I'll say one thing though. We spoke about the Rookie of the Year race a few weeks ago, and I said Wagner, I thought, was ahead of Cade, and you disagreed at the time. Have you come around to the Wagner show?
Well, I'm all about
Wagner. You love Wagner, too. Yeah, you love Wagner. But as far as Wagner ahead of Cade on the Rookie of the Year, in the Rookie of the Year race.
I think when it's all said and done, Cade is going to look like a legit franchise player at the end of the season. He just keeps getting better with every single game. So I think he's actually maybe going to run away with it. Unless Scotty Barnes, because Scotty Barnes has been amazing too.
So you don't think Mobley has pretty much won it already?
I think he's maybe not going to play enough games. I forget. I haven't looked at his games played recently.
He missed some games, but he's been healthy as of late, I think.
Yeah, and Cade missed games too. I don't want Mobley to get it. I want Cade to get it. Also, Cade just keeps getting more and more responsibility. So I don't know. I would put Cade there. Franz, even though I love him, and his brother Mo Wagner almost got into a fight the other night.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was cool. No, Mobley's been great lately.
Oh, for sure. For
Mobley
sure.
Mobley continues to put up his 16, 7, and 3.5 assists.
And
you know, over two stocks.
Good, and Rondo hasn't even played, or he played one game. Yeah. Like, the Cavs might do something interesting. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, okay.
Let's talk Raptors.
We had a challenge game. It was Spurs at Raptors. We're not really going to talk about the game because it was 2 weeks ago. Just quickly, the Raptors beat the Spurs 129-104. DeJounte Murray did not play. Fred VanVleet went nuts. He had 33 points, 7 of 14 from 3. Siakam went 18, 12, and 5. Devin Vassell played okay. We don't really need to talk about the game. You want to start with the Raptors.
Sure. So VanVleet has been incredible lately. He's like almost like the new Dame Lillard, kind of, right? Like, as a guy who has the ball in his hands, can pull up from anywhere, off the dribble, you can catch and shoot, smaller guard.
Top 10 on the player rater, I think.
He has been insane. If you acquired VanVleet, you know, at the beginning of the year, that is paying dividends. If you have him in a dynasty league, I mean, this guy was on waivers in our league like 2 years ago, and our league is pretty deep. But yeah, he's just been insane. Siakam has been
he's really been playing great game back
lately.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a triple double. He's flirting with the triple double like almost every night. Last few games, he's averaging like 27 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists, getting you 2 stocks. He's been incredible. Barnes has missed some games lately, and his scoring has been down, but he's another guy who's going to like kind of contribute like Siakam across the board.
And he's almost averaging a steal and a block. He might be a stock guy.
No, he's a guy who does it all. Gary Trent's out right now, I think maybe in COVID protocol, or maybe he's just day to day. He's putting up volume. He's shooting poorly, especially lately, but he's going to put up volume. And Boucher, you know, a guy that I still don't understand why he's owned in almost like 60% of leagues or whatever, but he has played a lot more lately and he's become more relevant. You know, and then there's OG, right? So OG was hurt for a while. OG has come back. He hasn't been great, but he's been all right. He's been solid. You know, and I know OG's a guy that we all have liked for years. But I like that they have like a lot of just like wing talent and, you know, VanVleet kind of running the show. And then there's this other guy. I don't know if you know anything about him, but Shempagne. He seems to be like playing minutes, you know, even more so than like Precious Achiuwa a little bit. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on the, you know, We the North?
So, obviously agree with all of what you just said, and OG is just, he has been, he's never been a boyfriend, because I don't think I've had him on my main team ever, but he's right there. He's one got away.
Yeah.
Okay, big picture. The Raptors are 21-19. They're 8th in the East. Like, this is a for real team. We're halfway through the season. Mm-hmm. This is strangely a team that could make a trade to get better right now. Gary Trent Jr., like you said, he's averaging 16, 2, and 2 in fantasy. He's been top 100, you know, because of the volume. I kind of feel like the Raptors in real life are sort of thin, even though they have a deep front court. Like, they have Boucher, they have Achiuwa, Yuta Watanabe has been playing recently. Kem Birch is still there, who I've liked in other circumstances. I thought Malachi Flynn was going to have a big role this year.
Mm-hmm.
Delano Banton is there, Svi Mykhailiuk. They still have Goran Dragic.
Yeah, it seems like they'll do anything to not really play him.
I think they agreed, like, we're going to try to trade you. There are rumors that he wants to play with Luka, but like, what, I mean, Dallas wants to get better too. So what are they sending back? And is it something that Toronto would want? Toronto definitely likes to play their wings and just do 6'7" and taller out there sometime. Yep. Like when FVV sits, they're like, let's just go wings. five
out. Yeah, and they have like a bunch of wings who can facilitate a little bit and like are comfortable passing the ball. So like when you have all three of those guys in like OG, Barnes, and Siakam, you know, you can get away with not having like a true number two ball handler. But you know, the rumor has been all season that they were going to potentially trade Siakam, and he's been playing great for them. So like,
yeah,
I don't know. Do you really want to trade him? I really like what they have with I think the four guys they have to build around with Van Vliet and those three wings. I like it a lot.
Well, let me give you some possibly bad news. The bench for the Toronto Raptors scores the least in the NBA, and they have the worst three-point percentage as a unit. That's not actual good news. Like, that means you're thin. They're 21-19, like I said. They have the 12th best offensive rating on the year, the 17th best defensive. They have the 27th best field goal percentage, which means they suck.
Mm-hmm.
They take the 17th most threes per game, and they have the 20th best three-point percentage. So they take a bunch, and they miss a lot. They get to the line 17th most in the league, and they have the 24th best free throw percentage, so they're not hitting their shots at the line. They're 14th in drives per game as a team. They have the worst finishing rate on drives in the NBA. They cannot finish at the rim, which surprised me as a team.
They have a lot of, you know, kind of unfinished guys offensively. Totally. So doesn't surprise me all that much. I mean, some of those numbers are a little worse than what I would have expected, but you know, Scotty Barnes, sometimes it's going to come and go. We know that with Siakam too, right? Like sometimes his jump shot is just like, he left it at home. And so I get that. And, but I still think that in a league where you value positionless, like length on the perimeter, I'd like to see what those three guys can do.
I think some of that, what I just said, them being so bad at finishing on drives, I think some of that is noise because Fred's small comparatively. Mm-hmm. And it's like a little bit like he's a good finisher, but it's just like a combination of all these things. And this team is in good position to get better, like no matter what they do. If they don't make a trade, presumably their impressive, talented youth will get better. If they do make a trade to actually get better, maybe they could be like a real second round threat just because of how fucking versatile they are. Van Vliet is for real.
Yeah, he is.
Pascal is playing like he's for real. He's also playing like maybe good enough where you can be like, all right, we could get something real in return for him. And then Scotty Barnes gets to be our four next year. They have all that front court. Like, Kemp Birch doesn't need to be on this team. I mean, they have stuff they can do. Gary Trent Jr. doesn't really need to be on the team.
They need another ball handler, another guard that can handle the ball. And
like DeMar DeRozan. Just kidding. Yeah. Who would that be, though?
I mean, there's been rumors of Ben Simmons and Siakam, you know, kind of being a package that maybe those teams. I don't think Siakam's a great fit in Philly, but supposedly that's been floated. I don't know. I'm not sure who. It's hard to say, like, who's really. I mean, you know, maybe they should consider giving the guys on their own team a shot, but. You know, they don't want to give Dragic any, they don't want to roll with Dragic, so I'm not sure.
I think Dragic is there to try to help facilitate a trade if they want to make one, or maybe get a draft pick out of somebody. But I think it's a sound foundation. I think that the team is better than its peripherals actually say that it is. Like, I do think that they're a playoff team right now in the East, just because a bunch of the other teams don't look like they can play defense or very physically at all. So let's talk about the other team, the loser of that game, the San Antonio Spurs. What are you, where are they? They're 12th in the West.
Yep. So Spurs, the guys, you know, that, you know, obviously it all starts with Murray. What a difference he makes. So he was not in that challenge game we watched. And then I watched him, I think it was like two nights later against Boston. And he was, it's just like, he's just got it, man. Like, he's really becoming a franchise player. You know, he is
top 25 player rater, by the way. This dude is always like double digit scoring and then 9 and 8.
Yeah. I mean, I think he has probably like 5 triple doubles maybe this year. He's been great, and he's been a closer for them. Like, he is like one of the best in crunch time, statistically. So, he's been incredible. He's a guy that I did not see this coming from this year. I thought he was a good player. I didn't know he was going to be a great player, but he's definitely a great player. Jakob Poeltl, underrated a little bit, you know, like
former Raptor,
he's not,
right?
Not that he was in the DeRozan trade.
Yeah. He revenge
second
game.
Piece. Yeah. So, yeah, it was DeRozan and Poeltl.
Oh man, that's amazing.
So Poeltl, yeah, the last remaining piece from that trade, doesn't really get mentioned a lot, but he's been really solid this year. And I don't know, he's a guy that I was high on when he was with the Raptors for his shot blocking. He doesn't like have explosive games where he's going to score a ton of points, but he doesn't really like have bad shooting nights either, because he's not going to like try to do too much and not and take something that doesn't come to him within the flow of the game. Bryn Forbes has been scoring a little bit more lately. Like, I think he's in the mid teens, but he does like nothing else. He has like no other counting stats. Your boy Devin Vassell, he's been rebounding a little bit more lately, and he's obviously been a great source of stocks. I think he's like 1.8 stocks around there. And then Keldon Johnson is a guy that I thought I was really hoping that him coming off of Team USA, he was going to kind of take it to the next level, but he's just been like really inconsistent. He's playing better in the last like month than he was to start the season, but he does nothing on defense or as a passer. So I don't know. I want to see Keldon, like, if you're going to be just a score guy who like gets rebounds, like, I want to see him get closer to 20 points a game. I'm a little disappointed with him there, but he's been okay. And then like the rookie Josh Primo's played a little bit more lately, so that's worth noting.
I like seeing that. No Thad Young, by the way, everybody. I know that was top of mind. Like, but what of Thad? Yeah, Thad fucking play. Keldon Johnson, 44% from three, which blew me away. I think that he and this whole team really suffer from the fact that it's the Spurs. And, you know, they're trying to play real team basketball. Like, DeJounte, I mean, he's not averaging over 20 a game. You know, he's 19-8-9.
No. We didn't even mention Lonnie Walker, another guy.
Yeah. Like, they just have all these dudes, and everyone scores between, like, 12 and 20 points per game. But they do it efficiently, so they have the 12th best team field goal percentage. Very Spursy. They take the 29th, so second least, amount of three-point attempts per game. They have the 12th best three-point percentage. So they don't take as many threes,
but they
take most of them. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. They have bad free throw percentages. You know, what are you going to do? They're third in drives per game, which sort of makes sense. Like, if you're not going to shoot a lot of threes, you're going to try to penetrate a lot.
Yeah, with Murray, especially, right?
I mean, for all, like, Keldon Johnson's a big boy, dude. Like, that guy.
Yeah, he is. He's a power forward. He can play the four.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just, and I'm not down on Keldon Johnson. I just thought that he was going to kind of like take that leap this year.
Sure.
And I haven't really seen that yet.
I mean, no one really gets featured, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
you're right. There's no guy.
I mean, Derek White, I think, was supposed to sort of be like one of their quote unquote scorers. He's shooting 30% from three for the year.
His first game back. He had a really nice game, though.
And he's top 50 on the player rater, but that's because he's averaging a steal and a block per game. So he's been highly inefficient this season, but you get all the counting stats, so it's fine. DeJounte's at 33% from three. Like, Doug McDermott is on this team for no reason. I would be trying to trade him in real life if I was there. Lonnie Walker is 11-2-2 with over a three per game. It's like, that's like the floor.
Yeah, everybody. That's like what everyone's
exactly. Doing. Yeah. Yeah. Like, everyone gets like one or two assists at least. I mean, Devin Vassell is a top 150 player and he's averaging 11-4, you know, but it's because he gets the steals and at least a three per game. It's such a fucking boring team, which is fine. That's absolutely fine. They're not very good. Because they don't really have a dude that can just take over a game, I think. So, like, DeJounte might get there, but he's not there yet. And Derek White disappointed. You know, like, I think that they could have a couple more wins, realistically, if a few things go a little bit differently. But, you know, they're a team that could definitely make a trade to either get better or to get worse. Like, I wouldn't be joined at the hip with Derek White. If someone gives me something good, or, you know, good draft picks, it'd be like, all right, yeah, that's cool.
Yep.
I still feel like Ben Simmons on the Spurs with DeJounte would be interesting, but I just don't know if, like, the Spurs have enough to give to the Sixers. I don't know.
Who cares? I don't think so.
Like, I wouldn't want to trade DeJounte, and that's about it. Everybody else I could conceivably see in a trade.
Yeah, get rid of all of them, who cares.
I mean, except for Primo, of course, because he's like 14 years old.
Drive it. It's illegal to trade him.
Yeah.
All right, enough Spurs.
I mean, I was glad it would have been fun to have DeJounte in that game. Like, it would have been a much better
game. Yeah, no, that would have been a much better game. But like I said, he came back like a day or two later, and
right,
great.
Okay, so our focus team is the Washington Wizards, a team that started hot and then got cold fast. They are now 22-21. They are the ninth seed in the East. They have the 20th offensive rating, the 22nd defensive rating, so they are literally mediocre, but they have the fifth best team field goal percentage. Brandon, thoughts on the Wizards?
Yeah. Wizards, I think they have, you know, a fair amount of talent. Bradley Beal, it all starts with Beal, right? He's still a killer, but he's in COVID protocol right now, so he's out. So it's a little more democratic. Kyle Kuzma has been taking advantage. He has been on fire. He had a 27-point, 22 rebound game the other day. He was one assist shy of a triple double like two nights later. He has four double doubles in his last five games. He's kind of stepped up and been like, you know, the guy. Spencer Dinwiddie is back. He's been playing really well. You know, he's taking advantage like while Beal's out. And I'm really interested to see like what happens. That was kind of the storyline of this season was like for the Wizards was Dinwiddie and Beal. Like I'm really intrigued by that because they're both like combo guards. They can both run the one or play the two. They're both tall. Dinwiddie, I think, is like 6'6", and Beal's like 6'4". So I want to see those guys healthy at the same time in play because I do think they have a lot of potential. And then, like, the big man, it's like they have a ton of bigs right now. So Hachimura and Thomas Bryant are both back. And then they have Harrell, who just came back. Still have Gafford. So it's like they're all playing kind of, you know, I think Harrell's still playing like real minutes, but the other three guys are all playing like 15 minutes a game. So we'll see what happens with those bigs. Gafford was playing, was the starter, but Thomas Bryant is back. So we'll see if he kind of reclaims that spot. And then Hachimura is a guy that they were, you know, kind of high on. And I think they're going to give him an opportunity. So, you know, the Wizards, I think they have a lot of talent. Their rookie, Kispert, he's been playing a little bit. They still have Avija. So, you know, they have some talent there. They have those two guards that I think can really, you know, do some damage. But they've just been inconsistent and, you know, they have to kind of figure out who the guys are kind of probably to close out the game and figure out, like, what's that real core lineup going to be.
They also still have the Latvian laser, Davis Bertans.
They do.
signed for big money and is a total whiff. In 29 mm-hmm. games played this year, he has a 34 three-point percentage. Okay, some cold water. Bradley, kind of a big deal. 24, 4, and 6 on the season. He is shooting under 30% from three. In fact, he's shooting 5.5 threes per game and making them at a 29.8% rate. 29.8. That is the third worst three-point percentage of the 77 players in the NBA who average at least 5.5 three-point attempts per game. Third worst of 77. Spencer Dinwiddie, the backcourt mate, who's averaging 14, 4, and 5, and is also averaging over one three-pointer made per game, he too is shooting 32% from three-point, as is Kyle Kuzma, who's averaging 15, 8, and 3 with over a three made per game, but 32 from three. Denny Avdija can't hit threes. He's shooting at a 29.8% rate. Like,
he's not really doing anything. He's been disappointing.
It's like Kentavious Caldwell Pope is the only dude that can shoot from outside right now. They are above 500. They're 22-21, but they suck, man. Like, this team sucks.
Oh yeah, didn't say they were a good team. Just said that, but I do like these guys from a volume standpoint. Agree. Oh, yeah, sure. They're definitely not.
Montrezl Harrell is a top 100 player in fantasy. You know, he's averaging 14-7-2. He's a 65 field goal percentage. Mm-hmm. Like, they just got to clear out some of this shit. You could get a lot for KCP. The Lake, whatever. We don't need to talk about the Lakers. I think Kuz is someone you keep. You know, Dinwiddie is, you signed him, so fine, keep him around. But, like, I don't give a shit about the front court at all. Like, if you want to get rid of Montrez and sell high on him, I'm fine with that. I don't care about Daniel. I don't care about Rui. I don't care about any of them.
Yeah. But Harrell's is the perennial, like, you just, you know, he's a guy you keep until you can trade him for something, right?
Totally. And Thomas Bryant, before he got injured last year, was actually doing well from outside shooting to compensate for Russell Westbrook. So, he could come back and be a pleasant surprise. But I don't know, man. That's, you have so much stuff. You are, like, technically deep. It's just, like, who cares? Like, what's the ceiling for this team? You get destroyed in the second round? But I would be trying to consolidate. And, you know, it seems like they love Avdija, so cool. That's great. Rui's back, but he can't shoot from outside.
Yeah. No, agreed. They've got to do better. But from a fantasy standpoint, I do think there are a lot of interesting guys here. Like I said, they're more volume.
He's number 101 on the player radar for the season, and he's under 10% rostered.
He's been good.
If you need steals and threes, pick up KCP.
Yep. Agreed.
Right. I don't.
That's all I have on the Wizards.
Okay. I had one more thing. Like, Beal, it's definitely not the Beal from last season. But if he still wants to re-sign with you, and it seems like he does, then I sort of feel like you start planning that now. Like, there's no real reason to wait. If you think that you can make a better roster around Beal to go for next year, then I would be trying to do that. Like, maybe, I don't know, can you get Jeremy Grant from the Pistons? You know, like, could you, I don't know, like, would you want Kristaps Porzingis?
Does
that make sense with Beal? I don't know.
I like Kristaps as a player, but I don't want him on my team.
Sure, fair enough. So, yeah, they're going to have to do something, because you can't just go into next season with, like, this overstuffed front court where no one might be good.
Yeah, agree.
All right. Are you ready to move on to ads?
Let's do it.
Okay, you go first. Or wait a second. Did we do the new challenge game? Did we pick one?
I was going to give you that at the end.
Oh, okay, cool. Then right on. Okay, go ahead, sir. Give us some ads.
All right, so a couple ads for my shallow leagues. These guys are, you know, the first guy, a guy we've discussed ad nauseum, Jalen Brunson, 61% owned. He's a real point guard. He scores, he distributes, you know, he plays smart. He's out there to, like, try to win the game. Last week, he's averaging 16 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. You know, we've probably mentioned him, I don't know, 4 or 5 times on this show at this point. I'm not saying he's a 100% owned guy, but I think he's valuable in pretty much all leagues. So, you know, if you're in a shallow league, you're looking for someone. I'm really high on Brunson, and I don't think that his minutes are in jeopardy at all, no matter what happens.
He can play with Luka, like, no problem. Like, they do play well off of each other, so it's not like they're staggered minutes as much.
Yeah.
I love him. I think he's totally great. But, like, that also just be the perfect role and team for him, you know? Like, so pick him up, because it might not this might be the best of all possible worlds.
Yeah. And then the other guy owned in slightly less, but this guy's probably the hottest guy on the player radar right now, and that's Anthony Simons. He's 37% owned. I think he's up, like, I think he was, like, 10% owned a week ago. So since the start of the year, he's basically putting up, like, Trae Young numbers, 28 points, 8 rebounds. He's the lead guard there right now. And we've been waiting for this. I mean, I know I had him on my team, like, 2 years ago, and we've been waiting. We'll see if he can maintain it, but he has been incredible, and he's the most productive guy that is owned, that in that few percentage of leagues.
And I think CJ is coming back soon. So that might make Anthony's life easier, because he's the starting point guard while Dame's out, and Dame might be out for the rest of the season. So the team is high on some of these young players that they have. Otherwise, they would have included them in deals, from the rumors anyway. It's going to be tough for Trailblazers fans, except if Anthony actually pops, then this could be, like, a nice, pleasant surprise. So, yeah, he must be rostered. He's going to get so much goddamn fucking volume. And I have Dame on my team. I am not expecting him to play again this season.
Yeah.
Unless the Blazers go on an unexpected, like, big-ass run and suddenly find themselves in playoff contention again. But I really don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't.
Like, they're going to keep saying, like, oh, yeah, he's still working on it. You know, his abdomen still hurts a little bit. We don't need to rush him back, and then it'll be the end of the season. But whatever. Yeah.
All right. What about you?
Okay, I have a guy that just needs to be rostered. Josh Hart of the Nollins Pallies, under 50% rostered in ESPN leagues. He's top 100 on the player rater for the year, top 75 over the past month. He is averaging 17-8-4 with over a steal per game, over a 3 per game, and better than a 52% field goal percentage over the last month. He simply must be rostered. He's one of the best fantasy players going. It is a fantasy crime that he is not nearly double his roster ownership. If he's available in your league and you don't pick him up, you really have to ask yourself what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a guy that, he just continues to produce. And like we said, he's just an amazing rebounder at that position. So you can count on, like, even if his jumper's not falling, he's going to rebound, and he's probably going to do, you know, give you a couple assists and maybe a steal. So, like, he's a guy that has a pretty high floor, but lately has been, like, you know, scoring and doing a little bit of it all. And he's been a guy who was, you know, he was good with the Lakers. So, you know, this isn't like, you know, the first time we've heard of him. Like, he's been a good player. It's just been about more about opportunity with him.
Okay, the next, I'm going to give you four dudes at once for my next
round. Yeah, go ahead. Sure.
This is all based on a criteria. All these guys are less than 25% rostered in ESPN leagues. There are 18 players in the NBA who have had, who, these are total stats, who have at least 80 three-pointers made so far this season and have hit them at at least 38% three-point percentage, have at least 10 blocks, and also are shooting at least 40% from the floor. So they take a bunch of threes, they sink them efficiently, they get you some nice counting stats on the side with some blocks, and they're efficient from the floor. Only 18 players are being that efficient this year with the blocks. They are Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Patty Mills, Cam Johnson, and Malik Monk. All four of those dudes need to be picked up in fantasy. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, KCP, who's number 101 on the player radar, like we said earlier, he's 8% rostered. Patty Mills, who has to be picked up and rostered everywhere because, again, Durant is out. Number 93 on the player radar for the season, 20% rostered. Averaging 13-2-3 with over 3 three-pointers made over the past month. Malik Monk, who's doing so well on the Lakers right now, number 45 on the player radar over the past month, averaging 18-3-2 with over a block and over 3 three-pointers made. And Cam Johnson on Phoenix, who nobody knows but is a sensational player. He's only 12% rostered, averaging 16-5-1 over the past month, over a steal per game, over 3 three-pointers made per game, 52% shooting from the floor. That's fucking efficiency. He is sinking those threes so smartly, so smooth.
Gets to the basket.
Like, they're just making all the right decisions. Yeah. All these dudes are great from outside going in. None of them are rostered as highly as they should be. And they're all vital to how their teams are working. Like, Cam Johnson is the least vital, I think, and he needs to play. He's sensational.
Yeah, Cam Johnson, we spoke about him recently, and, you know, he's a guy, he's like a true 3-and-D. He's like what everyone wants right now. And he's been so valuable for them, and he gets overlooked a little bit because of Mikal Bridges, but he is like just deadly from the corner, and his 3-pointer is he can extend it out. Like he'll take a deep three. But he's also like really big. He's like 6'8", but he's like kind of built, and he'll get to the basket. He won't always settle for the three. Like if they close out hard on him, like he'll pump fake and like get inside and maybe do something in the mid range or like try to draw a foul. So I'm really high on him too. Like not just for fantasy, but I could see that guy as like a starter in the NBA and
fuck
like
G Crowder, like what?
Putting up like real numbers.
Yeah. Goddamn right. Man, I'm so impressed with that team. I hate their owner so much, but the Suns are so good. Devin Booker just beat the shit out of the Pistons earlier. I don't know if I mentioned.
Didn't they get both of those guys in the same draft? Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges.
Dude, Mikal Bridges should be on the Sixers. It's so funny. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's like you got two of the best 3-and-D guys like in the same draft. Like,
incredible.
Cool. Yeah.
So anyway, like he's so super impressive, Cam Johnson, and he should be available in your league. Everybody else makes sort of we've talked about them already. Do you have some others?
So this is my second group. So these are my under 30% owned, you know, in most leagues. And then I'll give you some, after you go, I'll give you my under 5%. But my under 30%, I have three guys, so I'll give them all to you. One guy, you know, we both love him, Mr. Yurt7. He's still 22% owned. He's about as automatic of a double-double as like anyone in the NBA right now. Since January 3rd, he's also averaging over 4 assists a game. I think he had like an 8 assist game. Like He might give you, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if this guy puts up a triple double. But he's almost an automatic double double. His rebounding has been incredible. The second guy, 18% owned, Alex Burks. He's putting up 14-7-5 lately, flirting with triple doubles, getting a lot of rebounds. You know, still kind of in that facilitator role for the Knicks. So, you know, he's going to give you, like I said, he's scoring in the mid teens, and he's going to give you some fairly consistent assists. And now he's rebounding. So, at 18%, that's a guy I like. You know, in the short term, we'll see kind of how his role develops, but I think he's valuable. And then the last one, Herbert Jones, 15%. We talked about him before. Almost 2.5 stocks per game on the season. And his scoring as of late, he's like at 13 points per game in the last couple weeks. So any guy that's going to give you like almost 2.5 stocks and can score over 10 points a game, I think that, you know, he has some value too. Like, don't forget about the stocks, guys. Like, at no point we get all enamored with points, rebounds, and assists, but steals and blocks are just as valuable. So, you know, a guy like Herb Jones, 15% owned, but he's like pretty elite on the defensive side.
And when you can start with the peripheral defensive counting stats, and then you suddenly get a dude who's like, oh shit, I can score too. Like, that's just gravy. That is unreal. He's been a top 30 player over the past month. Like, maybe his scoring doesn't keep up, but it's probably going to be better than when it started. And for a rookie, that's just fantastic. That whole goddamn team is such a great story. It's awesome. I can't wait to see what those guys can do. They're in third place in the West. They overtook Utah.
Wait.
Yeah. What? Yeah.
Herb Jones?
Yeah.
On the Pelicans.
I'm thinking of the Grizzlies.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
The Pelicans are not in third place.
Yeah, the Grizzlies have been amazing. No, Herb Jones on the Pelicans.
We should also talk about Brandon Ingram at some point, since he's playing just sexual right now. And still no Zion. Herb Jones is top 70 on the year, and it's those stocks, like you said.
Yeah. You have any other guys?
I do. I need to mention Golden Gary Harris before I ask you a question. Sure. Golden Gary is another dude who's top 30 over the past month. He's averaging 17-2-2 with over a steal per game, more than 2 3-pointers made per game. They're just giving him run in Orlando, and
what's his ownership?
It is 7% rostered for Golden Gary Harris. I kind of feel like he could get moved. His defense is still good, and now he's scoring, so maybe he's over all of his injuries. But maybe the Magic also just want to keep him. I don't know. But he is super available. I have him on my team, and he's been extremely helpful during some games. K-Love is still out there, by the way, and he's been a top 100 player. Okay, the question I have, though, because you mentioned Burks earlier, so the Knicks and the Hawks made that trade, and now DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish, the two rookies that were taken by the Hawks, have been split up. DeAndre Hunter is 11% rostered. He's back. He's starting. Cam Reddish is 9% rostered. At least on the Knicks depth chart, he is not a starter. Right now, he's coming off the bench. DeAndre Hunter's averaged 14-1-1 in the three games since he came back. Cam Reddish has averaged 11-2-1 with over a steal per game on the season, and he's shooting 38% from three. Which one would you want if you could only have one? And what do you think Cam's role will be on the Knicks?
I was wondering that. So when I saw that trade, so for this season, I like Hunter more for the exact reason you just mentioned. I don't know what Cam's role is on this team.
It might be the exact same as it was in Atlanta.
Yeah, it might be. But with that said, I think when you trade for a guy generally speaking, you think they're going to give him, they're going to want to kick the tires on him, right? I would think if you traded for this guy, you want to see what he can do. You also have the dynamic of him and RJ Barrett. So, like, you want to see what they can do together, being that they've played together and they chose to play together in college. And clearly they, you know, hopefully that means they have a good relationship, right? And they could, they'll stick to get, stick in New York together. I think he gets a shot, but you're agreed. There's a lot of wing depth on this team. And, like, he's not going to start. They signed Fournier. They have Barrett. It's like they're, it's like, where does, what's his role unless you go with like a, you know, a three wing lineup maybe. But yeah, I like Hunter more for this season, assuming he's like healthy,
right? Which is a big if for him so far. But his defense is going to help the Hawks in ways that won't show up in fantasy, and I think that'll keep his role secure, even though they still have a bunch of dudes. Cam Reddish can shoot well from outside. Like, he's supposed to be a scorer. He's just been taking so many long twos, like our podcast this season, and they're just like the hardest things in the world. And you're like, this is almost, it looks like you want out. Like, you're just, some of these shots, like, you just shouldn't be taking, and it just sort of looks like you want out. I don't think the Hawks would trade him, would have traded him if they didn't realize that. Like, okay, you don't want to be here. Your role is never going to be big enough. Now that he's in New York playing for, I mean, Thibs is going to start an actual point guard. It's, he's old school like that. But I do think that RJ and Cam on defense will be interesting. Like, I think he'll play them together. And I think that I think that Cam will have a better shot selection. Like, he's not going to try to piss people off, you know, like maybe he'll pass out of some of those bad mid-range shots. He was a high draft pick. He was supposed to be the best out of those three when they were high school recruits, right?
I think so. And I think Barrett, you know, was pretty highly touted too, but yeah, he was all three of those guys were really good, but yeah.
I mean, the pedigree is sky high, and, you know, like, if he can score for the Knicks, then they'll love him.
Whether I think it's a good landing spot for him.
Yeah.
But as far as like market, I agreed. What's his role? But yeah, we'll see.
But, you know, especially because Kemba hasn't been consistent, to be polite about it, like Cam could have a really big role as just, you're the scorer off the bench. Like, you come in, microwave, like, it's your ball. Just try to do what you can. Because sometimes scoring for the Knicks is still just so goddamn pulling teeth. And hopefully Cam brings energy, too. Like, sometimes the Knicks just look lethargic. RJ has looked better recently. You know, like, now you got your friend. Like, I don't think this happens if they didn't want to play together, like you said. So, I don't know. Maybe it could be good vibes. And maybe, like, the Knicks gave up really nothing to try to take on a guy with mucho, mucho pedigree. So,
they gave up a guy who they've already declared as a bust, right? So,
yeah, like, I don't know if we'll see Kevin Knox play in the NBA again, at least for a while. And in the meantime, you know, the Hawks clear out some of their logjam.
Yeah.
And maybe by a few points with the agents. Okay. Do I have anyone else? Do you have anybody else anymore?
Yeah, I still have my under 5%.
Oh, yeah, go for that.
All right. So my under 5, I have 3. First one is Amir Coffey on the Los Angeles Clippers. Not going to get too in-depth on his stats, but he's 3% owned, and he's playing. And I watched a little bit of their game, and the announcer the other night said, Coffey to the cup. It's show time.
Nice. Dude, and like, someone has to play for that team. You know, Dookie Luke's been out. Paul George might not be back this season. The Morris twin is scoring 20 a game. It's like, people,
which we talked about, right? We said Morris was going to have a shot to really start putting up big points.
You were more
coffee,
but like I'm trusting you with these Clippers ads because you have been right.
Well, you know, he's the flavor of the week. Another guy we've spoken about a few times, Nas Little, 3% owned. Last 2 weeks, he's putting up 14 points, 5 rebounds, and 2.5 three pointers. So 3% means available pretty much everywhere. You know, if you want a guy who fits that profile, some scoring, some rebounding, and three pointers, you know, he's a guy who's available. And there's going to be an opportunity. You know, we might see. It doesn't look like CJ is going to get traded, but you know, it looks like they're going to play these young guys because this season is kind of a wrap for them.
You would think. Oh, like it would be very Portland if they went on like a 9-game winning streak. Like
it would.
I just wanted to say one more thing about coffee. The reason why I loved that rec is that the Clippers could be falling. If Paul George doesn't come back, the Clippers could playoff contention, which means that they could sell all their vets. And they have quite a few of them, like Bledsoe could be gone. Kennard could be gone. Morris could be gone. Like everyone could be gone. But Amir Coffey is right there getting all the minutes he wants, all the shots he can handle. Like he might be a pickup for volume, not just like for the long run, not just as someone, you know, who gets, you know, a nice month of production.
Well, he scored over eight. He scored 18 or more points in 3 of his last 4 games, and during that span, he's averaged over 5 rebounds and like over 4 assists. So, you know, he's been productive, and he's getting some steals. You know, his last 2 weeks, he has 16 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.5 steals. So,
dude, it's like if Paul George isn't going to come back and they're not going to make the playoffs, then why would Kawhi? You know, so it could just be a kind of, you know, David Robinson Spurs situation where it's like you're a good team, but you have the opportunity to tank because your star's out, and then you get Tim Duncan in the draft. Like, I would be selling off spare piece. I think I would tell Paul George not this year. Like, just because you could really get something. I mean, they have, like, Marcus Morris is a for real player. That's a guy that can score 20.
He can score 20, yeah, for sure. So I have one last guy, 2% owned, Justin Holiday from the Pacers. Last 2 weeks, 13 points, 2.5 rebounds, 2 assists with 3 three-pointers. Not incredibly efficient, but, you know, if you're looking for volume, like I say, he's 2% owned, so he's available. And, you know, again, we talk about pedigree. I mean, who has more pedigree than the Holiday brothers, right? So, you know, all of them seem to just, it seems like there's a new one every few years.
Yeah, totally. There's going to be like 7 at one time, like with Cousins and everybody else, which will be awesome. Because there have been like twice, I think, that 2 of them have been on the same team, right?
Okay. So there's the Holidays and then there's the Grants competing for like volume in the NBA.
Okay, actually, can we end with this? Jeremy Grant has been out for a while. He's also a trade rumor target. What do you think's going to happen?
I don't know. You're the Pistons guy. You tell me. I mean, I've heard this trade rumor all year, but who's doing these trades? I thought there was going to be a lot of activity, but no one seems to be pulling the trigger right now. So I don't know.
I think one of the reasons why it's a little quiet and the Ben Simmons thing is so weird is because Embiid doesn't really seem to care. He's like, yeah, man, well, we're a good team without Simmons and even though he's dead weight. So you don't need to rush, which is kind of an incredible thing to say when Embiid is playing this well. Like, yeah. I don't care about wasting a roster spot while I'm having an MVP season. The Trailblazers are probably out of it, but you can't trade Dame. So that means that they're probably sellers and they're not going to be buyers, but Dame was the piece. Maybe you can move CJ. Who knows? The Clips are out of it. This is going to be a weird trade season because perennial playoff teams, or at least 2 of them, are now gone. Washington, who knows what they do. Embiid doesn't seem to be like putting pressure on the team. The Lakers are a complete disaster. So are the Nets. Meanwhile, Golden State just got Klay back, and they look like a team that could maybe run through the West.
Yeah, they still are yet to have Wiseman, and they probably just use him for like 20 minutes a game. Kuminga has been – last thing I'll say, you know, since you brought the Warriors, I've really liked what I've seen out of Kuminga.
He looks great.
He's been really good, and it's him like perfect.
Together is kind of dangerous looking. Like, yeah, it's not bad. Oh, yeah. God. All right, man. Well, let's just mention Lu Dort and Jayson Tate constantly under rostered, but they give you counting stats efficiently. So both those guys are available as always.
And the challenge game.
Oh yeah, challenge go game. For it.
So this, I believe it is Wednesday. Sorry, I'm just pulling it up. I believe this Wednesday we have Hornets Celtics.
Okay.
7:30.
Sure.
So, you know, we've talked about those teams a little bit, but we haven't, I don't think we've done like a full deep dive on them. So, you know, looking forward to that one.
Dude, we haven't talked about Gordon Hayward all year.
Yeah.
Like, and we haven't even mentioned his goddamn name.
Yeah. So 7:30 ESPN Hornets at Celtics.
Right on.
You know, that hopefully should be a good one, because most of the guys you want to see are have been active as of late, knock on wood.
Miles Bridges games, always challenge accepted. All right, man. Yeah. Well, have a good week. Be safe and warm out there, everybody. We will see you next time.
Take care.